Hello, this is Super Podcast, and I'm Super Marcy, joined with Super Steven.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello again.
Hello again. Now, you're back with me again, and
yes.
The last time you were on the show, we did our top five movies of all time, well, our top five favourite movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And today, we are going to do our top five guilty pleasure movies.
Yes.
Which are movies that people probably don't tend to think are very good, but we love to watch them, and that's why they're guilty pleasures.
Yes, we're celebrating the movies that everyone hates but still have, like, I guess some sort of fan base for how shit they are.
Yes. Now, we are not going to talk about Showgirls because we dedicated a podcast to that already. Which
I think people are probably sick of hearing about Showgirls.
I mean, naturally that would be our number one guilty pleasure, but we're going to talk about the other ones.
Yeah.
In top five form.
Yes.
Okay. So, let's get this party started. What is your number five?
My number five is Tank Girl.
Tank Girl.
My, my. Talented, isn't she?
Hi! Feeling a little inadequate?
She'll be fun to break.
I like pain.
Lori Petty.
Did I hurt you yet?
Yes.
With Naomi Watts.
Yeah, that's right, actually. I forgot. Naomi Watts, her first big, American movie, which was filmed here in Australia, which is how she got the role.
Mm-hmm.
Tank Girl is based on a comic book from the 90s.
It is.
And it's about like a crazed, kind of eccentric, quirky female chick lady who shaves her head and has tattoos and rides a tank in this, like, futuristic desert kind of place, and that's pretty much the whole movie.
That's pretty much about it, eh?
Pretty
I think the tagline was in 2033, Justice rides a tank and wears lip gloss.
Lip gloss, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's obviously a very silly movie. It's actually, like, I mean, I personally don't think it's that bad. It's not, like, so shit that you love it. It is entertaining, but, I mean, you know, it's not exactly kind of up there on people's favourites list. It's a bit of a random movie, but it does have a few fans, I guess, because it is something that a lot of people have seen. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, have you seen it?
I saw it a long time ago when it came out.
Yeah.
And it's got Lori Petty from Point Break.
Yeah, and she was also in A League of Their Own.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, and I think those were, like, her only three movies.
I think she was in Free Willy.
Oh, yeah, let's just count those three.
Actually, I remember that one as well, but I don't really remember her in much else.
Yeah, her career kind of died out.
I think I remember seeing her in a few episodes of House, but that's about it.
I know that she got arrested for drink driving last month.
Oh, wicked.
So, that's been the only time in the past 10 years that I've seen her face in any sort of kind of media coverage.
So, what enjoyment do you get out of Tank Girl? Do you just laugh your ass off, or...?
I guess most of it's nostalgic. It's got some, you know, the character's really silly, so she's got some, like, stupid, funny one-liners, and it doesn't take itself seriously. It's just kind of, you know, Lori Petty dressed up like
a tank
girl,
like a
lesbian, kind of running around, and, you know, like doing funny things, and it's just, you know, it's a cool little kind of low-budget sci-fi type of thing, and it's got a really good soundtrack. I guess that's one, like, positive thing about it. And it also stars I forgot his name, but you might know it. Is it Malcolm McDowell from Clockwork Orange? Yeah, he's
Malcolm
also
McDowell.
Malcolm McDowell, yeah. So, and he's a good actor, so he's pretty good in it. But
He's made some really shit movies.
Yeah, he has. And he said that as well.
Yeah.
I guess if I compare Tank Girl to anything, I guess it's probably sort of the same style as the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, that is truly terrible.
It's a little bit better, though, but it's got that type of quality to it. So, Tank Girl, number five.
Cool. My number five, right?
Yes.
My number five is, it is Striptease. I can't stay away from those damn strippers. Striptease.
Well, I also like Striptease.
Mm.
My lawyer told me this appeal is going to cost me $20,000. I mean, is there a shot in hell that I can make that in 6 weeks?
Aaron Grant is desperate. And desperate times call for desperate measures.
I'm in a pretty bad custody fight. I can't still be working here when I go to court. Oh, yes, Your Honor, I've got a job. I'm working at the Eager Beaver.
Striptease is very famous for being this big Demi Moore movie where she got paid like $12 million to show her tits for like 30 seconds.
Yes.
And it's an absolute shithouse of a movie, but it is also like one of the most fun and hilarious movies ever. And the tagline for this movie was, "Some people get into trouble no matter what they wear." I mean, how can you go wrong with a tagline like that? And this one pretty much cleaned up the Razzie Awards a year after Showgirls.
It was, and it's that's probably why it flopped.
Yes, and this movie, this great movie, also stars Burt Reynolds and... it's got Robert Patrick in it as the crazy ex-husband.
Yeah.
And he's...
And it also has... Sorry, keep going.
Oh, no, I was going to say, he's especially bad in it. And yes, it also has her daughter, Rumor Willis.
Yeah. And... Now, can I just say a few things about Rumor Willis?
Yes.
She is a great girl, I'm sure, and I'm looking forward to seeing her in Sorority Row, but she has a really weird head where she looks kind of like...
Does.
A mouse that's kind of folded her face in ways. And as a kid in this movie, she's pretty fucking ugly.
Yes. I think the poor girl, she looks kind of like a potato head.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's...
She looks... Yeah.
She's not very good in this movie either.
She's really awful.
Yeah, she's truly, truly awful. Go on, you can try me.
It's really corny, like, having a mother and daughter in the same movie together.
Yeah,
like,
and it's,
like, that they're real,
and it's a stripper movie.
Like, from real life.
Yeah, and it's a stripper movie, and she takes it to the strip club. And also with the Showgirls theme, Rena Rifle is in Striptease.
Of course, Rena Rifle.
Mm. And one of my favourite scenes in this movie is when Demi does her dance at home, and she's, like, in a towel. Do you remember that scene? She's, like, practicing with her towel.
That.
Yeah. Gotta love that.
So dumb. I also remember how hideous the clothing was that she wore while she was stripping. Like, it was even worse than, like, Showgirls.
There was one, and I think she's wearing, like, a tuxedo or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome costume design. there you have it, Striptease, to be watched with lots of alcohol. Just, you know, do it carefully.
Yes.
So.
All right.
Number four.
Now to number four.
Yes. What is your number four?
Okay, my number four, it is Catwoman starring Halle Berry.
My life, I felt powerless. I've never stood up for myself. But then...
You can come out now, it's okay.
I think maybe I'm in the wrong...
Everything changed.
Oh, no.
I know, this movie is really, really bad. I don't even know
it's
where
atrocious.
To begin. It is. You know what? I found the movie for $7 at Target, and I bought it.
Oh, no.
And as bad as it is, and as stupid as the entire thing makes me feel when I watch it,
yeah.
It is actually entertaining from start to finish.
I actually saw this for free at the cinema, and I wanted that time back. It was so awful.
It is one of the worst films I've ever seen.
Oh,
I can't believe these people actually read the script to this and did this movie and felt like, I don't know, they they were so proud of it. I mean, Halle Berry even went on Oprah.
I saw that.
And
oh
I'm thinking,
God.
Why are you promoting this movie? It's awful.
It's
have
awful.
You not seen it?
Oh my
it's just
God.
Ridiculous.
I know, it's insane. It really is. And well, like, it's a movie where the bad guy makes this like face cream. I mean, for well, fuck's sake. It's
the plot of the movie is that Halle Berry's like works for this makeup company, and one day she sees them kind of dealing in some sort of like criminal activity, and they end up trying to kill her because she saw too much. The company is run by Sharon Stone, who's awful in this movie.
Oh,
she looks
really
good,
is. She looks good, yeah, definitely.
Her acting is appalling.
Yeah, it's so
and
good.
Halle Berry, after dying, ends up getting resurrected by a cat, similar to how
but it's
like
extremely
in the movie,
crap.
Yeah, like in the movie The Crow, except it's with a cat, you know, so she comes back for revenge, blah, blah, blah. And
it's stupid.
She comes back from the dead, and she, like, cuts her hair, and she gets a nice hairstyle, and she does her makeup, and it's just fucking retarded, like...
It is fucking retarded. That's being kind.
And in the end, when she battles it out with Sharon Stone, Sharon Stone's power is that her skin is extra hard from using the special face cream.
It's all about the freaking face cream. I can't believe it.
And I'm
it,
just
man.
Thinking, it's like action for really stupid women.
It
like
is,
women,
it's
women who've never seen, like women who don't like action movies but want something that's kind of girly. That's who it's for.
It's insanely stupid.
It is.
It is. You seriously, this movie will get you smashed if you play drinking games. Like in the first 5 minutes, drink whenever something stupid happens.
Just get smashed before seeing it. That's how you enjoy the movie.
Yeah, I've got to give it credit for one thing. It actually has a really decent like opening credit sequence.
Yes, it does, and I like the fact that they talk about past Catwomen in it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I remember on the back of the DVD cover, one of the quotes from one of the reviews is that the movie is the most intelligent science fiction film since The Matrix. I can't say I agree with that.
What drugs was that reviewer on?
I don't know. I guess they probably got drunk before seeing it. Like, like we're recommending.
Where's the sci-fi? Was she an alien or something?
I don't know, but Catwoman is my number four.
My number four was, in the past, it was called The Worst Movie Ever Made.
Oh dear.
And that would be Plan 9 from Outer Space.
They come from the bowels of hell, a transformed race of walking dead, zombies guided by a master plan for complete domination of the Earth. Plan 9 from Outer Space.
I have not seen this movie.
Oh, really?
No, I haven't. But I know everyone who has.
Have you seen Ed Wood, the movie based on the director of Plan 9?
Yes, I have. Mm. I like that.
Yeah.
This was the guy that was the Uwe Boll of, like,
of the
30s.
Of the 60s, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what's it about?
Plan 9. How can I even begin? I mean, the opening has, like, this monologue, right? And the guy, when he's talking, he switches from talking about the past, then these events are suddenly in the future, then they're suddenly in the present. It doesn't make any sense. The movie is about, I think, these aliens want to resurrect humans, like the dead bodies, to do something.
Yeah.
I don't really know. It doesn't make sense. This movie, none of it makes sense. It started off when the director, Ed Wood, filmed some, you know, a few minutes of Bela Lugosi, who was best known as playing Dracula in the 30s. He filmed just a bit of footage of him, and then Bela Lugosi then passed away. So then he decided to make an entire movie based on this, like, 2 minutes of footage. And some of the fantastic lines from this movie, I mean, you can quote them over and over again. They're just that silly and that stupid. One of the ones that you always hear about is the line where he goes...
Is this thing shot in black and white?
Yeah. One of the most famous lines from the movie is when the guy goes, "Future events such as these will affect you in the future." What? I want to know what the hell Ed Wood was smoking. Like, What drugs was he on? Oh my god. The sheer shitness of Plan 9 just makes it so insanely awesome. It is, I mean, it's a fantastic film for all the wrong reasons. It's just, it's great. And then you get to see, like, the flying saucers flying around on a piece of string. And then I think there's a bit where it looks like they just lit a match and then set the little flying saucer on fire with a match. Oh, it's fantastic. It really is.
I think I need to see this movie.
Oh, it's only like an hour long. I think the actual original title was supposed to be Grave Robbers from Outer Space. So they're grave robbers from outer space.
Okay.
And the sets on this movie, they're in the graveyard, and the guys are walking and they fall over and they knock over the like cardboard tombstones, and he left it in the movie. And then like, when one of the guys can't get up, some other guys have to lift him up, and you can see them, like, trying to help him up sort of thing. And, it's all this kind of stuff like that. Oh, it's great.
It truly is.
Really awful. And, like, the cockpit in the airplane is literally, like, these guys sitting on these chairs with a shower curtain behind them. And it's supposed to be, like, so realistic. Plan 9.
Hilarious.
Plan 9.
From outer space.
Plan 9 from outer space. Highly recommended. It is fucking awesome.
Okay, now we are up to our number three.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Well, my number three is a movie from the Nightmare on Elm Street series. And
ooh.
It is part 3, which is called Dream Warriors.
Part 3 is fucking awesome.
Yes, it actually is a shit movie, but at the same time, pretty entertaining on like a serious level. Like, it actually is an entertaining movie.
I wouldn't say it's shit. It's definitely one of the better entries into the series of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Well, it is, but it's the first movie from the series that kind of stopped making the film serious, and they took a bit more of a kind of fantasy, kind of over the top, type of. Yeah, so, I mean, if you loved the first one, you may not like the tone of the third, fourth, and fifth movies that were in the series.
I mean,
but
this one brings back Nancy from the first one.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
And it has a very young Patricia Arquette in it.
Yes, who I really loved. I actually liked her character more than I liked Nancy.
Yeah, I really liked her character. And it's also an early role from Lawrence Fishburne, however you pronounce it. Who would be Morpheus?
Yeah, so a couple of people are in this.
Yes, it's actually got some really awesome death scenes as well.
It does. I guess I should tell them what it's about.
Freddy Krueger haunts people in their dreams in a mental hospital.
Yeah,
something like that. Anyway,
yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, are they in like a psychiatric hospital?
Yeah, they are.
Just make sure.
And they're all friends, and they're all trying to like not sleep, and they're all being haunted by Freddy. And Nancy comes in because she's like
the expert.
You know, she was the survivor of part one, and she's there to help them. And so it's good. The third movie starts off a trilogy of movies actually. So number 3, 4, and 5 are all kind of interconnected.
Yeah, 3, 4, and 5. Yeah.
And I love them. I love those three films. But out of those three, I think that one was my favorite.
It's a great movie.
It's cool, yeah, really entertaining.
And watch out for the death where Freddy is the puppet master.
Puppet master, that's awful.
That is so amazing. Ooh, and there is actually, this movie has one thing that is actually really cool, and that is there's this guy's having he's having his dream, right? I think it's the guy that can't talk.
Yeah,
and he has a dream about this nurse, and this nurse just gets her clothes off. And she's got this big pair of knockers. They even managed to put tits in this movie.
That is true.
Oh, excellent. But I love the Nightmare on Elm Street series. So much so that my number three is also a Nightmare on Elm Street sequel.
It is.
But
mine
is one of the most hated sequels. And that is A Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge.
Someone is coming back to Elm Street. He is not friendly. He is not patient. And he is not a welcome visitor.
No! No! No!
But he has something terribly special for the new kid on the block.
It started to happen again.
Dad!
I'm in trouble. You've had some scary dreams, okay? Help!
Daddy can't help you now.
Otherwise known as the gay Nightmare on Elm Street movie.
Otherwise known as the gayest movie ever. Oh my gosh.
Why is that, Marcy?
This movie is just really insanely gay. What this one is about, I think it's
And
like,
we do actually mean gay, like as in homosexual.
Homosexual, yeah. Homosexual undertones, right?
Yes.
This one takes place, I think it's 5 years after the events of the first film. And this new family moves into the Nancy's house. And this boy called Jesse has nightmares about Freddy. And Freddy wants to take over his body. And, you know, try to murder people in the real world. Not through their dreams. He wants to take possession of his body. And poor Jesse is a very sexually confused boy.
Yeah.
There's this girl who comes to see him called Lisa. But instead of nailing Lisa, he spends lots of time with his friend Grady. And when they're at school playing sports, they pull each other's pants down pretty much. And then they hang out, and Jesse just basically wants to have sex with him. And instead of going to nail Lisa, he goes and spends the night at Grady's house.
Yes, he
does. And in one of the kills in this movie, the coach, I can't remember the coach's name, he meets him at an S&M club, and the coach is somewhat... I don't know, he's sexually something. Sexually crazy, maybe. So basically, he makes Jesse do, I don't know, a workout at the school after... This is like in the middle of the night. And then he gets Jesse to go have a shower. And then the coach goes into the shower, and Freddy basically ties him up, rips his clothes off, and grabs a towel and spanks his ass with a towel. I can't like say this without pissing myself. It seems like this that just make this movie filled with homosexual undertones, and a lot of the lines are just, you can tell that, you know, this movie is like this boy's coming out story. It's like a metaphor for his coming out. And as it so happens, the main actor, Mark Patton, is gay.
Yes, and who else?
I believe the director was gay too.
Yes, that's right.
Mm.
A few too many coincidences, if you ask
me. Yeah, so I think maybe, you know, at the time they made this film, maybe they were, you know, coming to terms with their sexuality, and they put that into the film and then said, you know, oh, this is a Nightmare on Elm Street film, and we'll just put Freddy in there somewhere. And if you want to get hammered when you watch this movie, just, you know, drink every time something remotely gay happens, and I mean, do it responsibly, because, you know, in 10 minutes you'll be smashed. And amazing, this film does not deliver the goods with the boobs.
No, it doesn't. Coincidentally,
you get Coach's ass and you get Jesse's ass, or was it Grady's ass? I can't remember.
Well, there you have it.
But it isn't actually like a really fun. It's a really fun movie, despite the fact that it's extremely gay. But that's all part of the fun.
It is.
Mm. Now to number two. And number two, we actually have the same movie.
We do. Mm. And that movie is Return of the Living Dead Part 3.
Let's proceed.
Don't worry, they can't see us.
Beyond the laws of nature.
Silence of death. She has returned to take you on a joyride to hell.
Yes.
Now this movie, I remember I saw it when it first came out, and I thought awesome, man.
I thought it was great. I still think it's a really cool movie.
It is.
I don't think it's like enjoyable because it's crap. I actually think it's a pretty cool zombie flick. But it's in our list because. Obviously, it's a zombie movie, so it's just gonna be automatically shit to a lot of people, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's probably not the most popular one out of the series, either.
I think it's got, like, a bit of the cult following. The first one, I think, is the one people really like. I think the second one people really hate.
Yeah.
The third one
is interesting because it actually, like, completely differs from the tone of the first two, and it has like a zombie who's the girl in it is a zombie, but she's not really a traditional looking type of zombie.
She looks normal pretty much.
Yeah.
Until she starts getting this crazy metal fetish.
Yeah, and she starts instead of eating people, she eats a few people, but to stop her cravings, she starts hurting herself. So she kind of just she looks freaky because she starts mutilating herself, not because she turns into a zombie. Do you know what I mean? And there's a bit of a love story in there as well.
Yeah,
so.
The love story is actually quite good. It keeps
it is.
Going.
It's cool.
And actually, the main girl in it, or the main woman, is I can't blank on her name now. It's Melinda Clark, who people probably remember as the bitch mum from the OC.
yeah.
So that's pretty cool, and she's pretty hot in that too.
She is.
Especially when she's hot. She's got all the metal.
Yeah, going through her final transformation.
And there's like, the poster for the movie is actually really cool.
The poster is cool. Actually, that's one poster you should put on your blog.
Yeah, I've been meaning to do that. She looks really hot, and she shows her boobs quite a bit in this movie too.
Yes,
and the guy takes his shirt off quite a bit as well. So
just
it's
so
a
everyone's
win-win.
Aware of it. Yeah. Well, I'll go through a brief summary of what it's about before we move on to our last pick. But there's a girl in it whose dad works for a government agency who are experimenting on reanimating the dead. Mm. One day, her and her boyfriend break into the security facility, whatever you want to call it. They, what happens? They have an accident or something? Something spills on her or she gets attacked or something like that?
I think...
No, she dies.
No, they have a motorcycle accident and she dies.
They leave the facility after seeing how there's resurrected zombies everywhere. Mm-hmm. She ends up dying in an accident and then he takes her back, the boyfriend, to use the stuff that they used on the zombies to bring her back from the dead. So, and she comes back a little twisted. So,
there's some gruesome scenes where she eats some people.
Yeah.
And it's quite disgusting. It is actually, it's really gory.
Yeah, it is gory.
It's really cool though.
Yeah.
It's excellent. And I was going to say, the director, Brian Usner, he was the producer on Reanimator, and he also directed the two sequels to Reanimator.
Really?
So, bravo.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He did a very good job with this movie. And I really want to see it again. I'm going to have to track it down.
I will let you borrow it.
Okay, cool. Because you let me borrow some other movies this week.
Yes, which you probably should, maybe you can pod about them.
Oh, I can mention them after. So,
alright. Alright, so...
Our number two, Return of the Living Dead, part three.
Yes, part three. Mm. So now for our number one.
Our number one. What's your number one, Stephen?
My number one is a movie which came out in the early 90s called Cool World.
During his 10 years in prison, Jack Deebs created his own world. It made him very successful.
You're Jack Deebs, the creator of Cool World, right? I can't believe this.
Now he thinks he's going home to the real world. But he's wrong. Real wrong.
Welcome to my world.
You're not in Kansas anymore!
Cool World. I remember this movie.
Yes, and it stars some pretty famous people. It's one of the first big screen films that Brad Pitt was in.
Yes.
It also stars one of the first films Gabriel Byrne was in.
Yep.
And it also stars Kim Basinger, I think it's pronounced.
Kim Basinger.
Basinger. Basinger. And it's people don't tend to like this movie. It's created by a famous animator named Ralph Bakshi, mm-hmm. who did other movies like Fritz the Cat and all these other kind of like adult cartoons.
Mm.
So it's about Brad Pitt, who has a motorcycle accident, and instead of going to heaven, he ends up getting stuck in another place called Cool World, which is this animated place where everything's a cartoon and it's like this crazy kind of wacky place. And while he's there, he meets a character named Hollywood, who is modeled on by Kim
Basinger.
Yeah. And she's like this really kind of slutty stripper dancer type of chick who finds out that if you want to become real, like in the real world, what you have to do is have sex with a real man. So she brings in Gabriel Byrne, has sex with him, becomes real, and sets out into the real world to kind of release all the cartoons into cartoon land. Mm. Now, to me, that is a pretty good plot. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I watched it as a kid, and I loved it. And as an artist, someone who can draw, she was the model for a lot of things that I was drawing at the time in regards to female characters. So it's mainly nostalgic that I love this movie, but I can still watch it today, and I honestly have no problem with it. But from what I've seen on the internet, people just think it's a really, really bad Roger Rabbit. Yeah, a really bad Roger Rabbit ripoff, which I also liked, but I don't know, Cool World for me, it was always much cooler. It was a lot dirtier, and it had a really cool soundtrack.
I saw it a few years back, because it had a bit of a run on cable. And I remember I'd seen it before that, but then, you know, seeing it again, it sort of refreshed my memory. I didn't mind it. I thought it was all right. And Brad Pitt was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not a bad movie.
No problems with Cool World.
No, not at all.
Wonderful.
I didn't mind it. Now,
so,
my number
what
one.
What is your number one?
My number one is No Retreat, No Surrender.
Ladies and gentlemen, Eastern Europe's most feared martial artist, Ivan Krasinski!
Jason Stilwell wanted to be a champion, but he's having a tough time at school.
No excuses here, mister. Let's see what you're made of. Fight!
And a tougher time at life.
Stay out of the way, punk. She's mine.
Ba-dum, ba-dum. Which, I'd like to say it stars Jean-Claude Van Damme, but it doesn't really star him, as he's only in it, like, twice.
Yeah.
This movie, I had not seen. I mean, I think I had seen it before this year, but I don't really remember. But yeah. I did see it properly this year, and now I own it, and I've watched it quite a few times. No Retreat, No Surrender is about this kid who's this massive Bruce Lee fan, and him and his dad are at their like martial arts school. His dad's a teacher, and these people come in and basically beat him up because they want to buy out his business. And the dad starts crying like a little girl in front of all the class, and he moves them away, and he forbids his son to, you know, get back into the martial arts and all this other crap. And then basically, the kid just, you know, makes new friends, makes enemies, and the bad guys come back into it again. And then they have this big showdown at the end where they bring in Van Damme to, you know, basically kick the shit out of everyone. That's the movie, and I know that probably doesn't make a hell of a lot of sense, but this movie doesn't really make a hell of a lot of sense. It is hilarious in the fact that, you know, some of the acting is truly atrocious, which makes it so absolutely amazing. Especially the guy's dad, when he breaks down and he starts crying in front of, you know, his martial arts school. Oh, my God. And Van Damme breaks his leg. Go, Van Damme. And the guy in this movie, he gets this new friend, and this new friend is, like, the worst actor. And he meets him, right? They go into his garage, and the guy, like, break dances for him, and you can clearly see that they change the person when he's breakdancing.
Oh, no.
And, like, there's this really stupid bit where he tries to climb up this shelf, and it breaks, and he pulls this, like, really bad face. And it's also got this fat kid who's, like, the bully. He just looks like a really big bully in real life, and he's a really bad actor. And then halfway through the movie, this kid, he's, like, really upset over some of the events that have happened in the movie, and he goes to the grave of Bruce Lee, and he talks to him. And then he goes to this abandoned house, and suddenly the ghost of Bruce Lee, or a.k.a. oh, no. his imagination, trains him.
Oh, no.
And there's this really hilarious scene where his friend is watching him train through the window, and he sees him talking to himself. And he, like, pulls his face, is like, what the hell's going on? And the main guy basically throws himself through the window because Bruce Lee, the imaginary Bruce Lee, kicked him through the window.
Do you know what? I have not seen this movie, and I can officially say that I'm dying to see this movie.
This movie, it is the most fucking brilliant piece of work ever. It is amazing. It really is. I mean, everything that's so bad about it just makes it that much brilliant. Like,
it sounds hilarious.
It truly is a masterpiece of martial arts cinema, and I would definitely let you borrow it. I'll have to tear it out of my hands, but you have to see this movie. It is amazing. I don't know what I did before this movie. Honestly, it's just that great. It really is. No retreat, no surrender. And it's got these sequels, but they're not really sequels. They just put No Retreat, No Surrender in the title.
Oh, okay.
But they're also definitely worth checking out because they're absolutely awesome.
Absolutely. I don't doubt that.
Amazing. So they would be our top five guilty pleasures.
Guilty pleasures, yes. So make sure you see them because, if there's one thing you can take from a guilty pleasure movie, it's that, you'll be entertained. For however long that movie is.
Yeah, you'll be entertained, and you know what? Just, like, have a few drinks.
Yeah.
It just makes the experience all that much more memorable, and then these movies will be masterpieces when they're really not. Especially if you're going to watch your recommendation of Catwoman.
Exactly.
We might just quickly mention that in a previous podcast, I was ordered to watch the movie Inside and the movie Martyrs.
Yes.
And you sent them to me. You let me borrow them.
Yeah.
And I watched both of them last night.
Yeah.
And I was actually stirring you up when I was watching Inside and saying, this movie's not scary, blah, blah, blah.
So you did actually think it was scary?
I didn't think it was scary.
Oh, okay.
But I was just stirring you up a lot, saying I didn't like it and all this other rubbish. I actually thought Inside was a wicked film.
Yeah.
It is actually quite disturbing in a way.
Because it is. It's like
the subject matter.
You know, just with the whole baby thing.
Yeah, this creepy woman wants to steal this woman's baby.
Yeah.
And it is so bloody and it is so gruesome and it just gets worse and worse. It's amazing.
It builds up into the biggest, like, catastrophe of a film where there's just burning faces and blood and...
Seriously, that exploding everything. Head was amazing. Wow. Like, everyone knows of the exploding head from Scanners, a David Cronenberg movie.
Yeah.
But this one was just like, whoa, it's pretty cool. I was impressed. I was impressed with all the blood in this movie.
Yeah, there was, like, tons of it.
You know, I enjoy horror, obviously.
Yeah.
And I do like to see a lot of blood and stuff on the screen. Because sometimes, seeing all that brutality, it's just, you got to watch it. You got to sit through it. You got to see how much is too much.
Exactly.
You know, before you really turn away. But I didn't actually turn away watching this movie.
No.
And there were some bits. It was just so over the top that it was so insanely hilarious.
Yeah.
And this woman with the scissors. Oh, my goodness.
She was a psycho.
She really was. And at the beginning, as I was telling you, like, when she's sort of... You don't really see her too well when she's kind of being all creepy.
No.
She looked like David Bowie. I thought it was David Bowie.
Well, that would be pretty scary if David Bowie just randomly turned up in your house.
So yeah, and he wanted to take your baby.
And Martyrs. What about Martyrs?
Martyrs was completely different.
It was.
And going into the first half of this movie, and then in the second half, they're two completely different movies. The whole... Everything just changes from one part to the other part. And the first part was really, really brutal. And at times, that was actually hard to watch.
Yeah.
Just with some of the stuff that, they'd gone through.
Yeah.
It's definitely an interesting movie. It's definitely thought-provoking, especially with what the second half has to say. But obviously, I don't want to spoil it for whoever's listening and hasn't seen it. But, you know, the first half and the second half, completely different.
Yeah.
And
well, it's the type of movie that people are either going to really hate because they're just going to think it's senseless violence.
Yeah.
Or it's really going to have a bit of an effect on people. Mm. And I'm happy to say that it had a really profound effect on me while I was watching it. I was just completely in love with this movie while I was seeing it. I thought it was so well made and so well acted, and just it really kept me watching.
The acting was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
Especially, I can't remember the girl's name. I think it was Anna.
The second girl, like the one that lives longer?
Yeah. I shouldn't say that, but...
Well...
Yeah, Anna. Especially some of the things she goes through in the second half. It's pretty brutal.
Yeah. I mean, how do you act something like that out? Like, that was full on.
Mm. And the blood... this has... Obviously, it's got excessive blood and gore in it as well.
Yeah.
But for me, I didn't actually find that humorous as I did in the other movie.
No, the other movie, because it was over the top...
It was over the top,
was pretty funny. Martyrs...
was a lot Martyrs more serious really... and... There I was to say it was more serious, but...
There was like there was more brutality to the violence in Martyrs, I think. Like it was really kind of
it was kind of more of a raw violence, I guess.
Yeah.
And at least I guess when you get to the end there was a message they were trying to say, so it wasn't like it was completely senseless violence.
No, there was a point to why everything was done in this movie. Mm. There is an actual storyline.
Mm.
There's a lot of violence to get through to kind of get to.
But
so whether or not,
again, it was something I didn't look away. I still watched the whole thing.
Yeah, but, for sure.
Honestly, with the amount of stuff I've seen, it takes a lot to actually shock me and to make me turn away. I think the last movie that the gore really made me a little bit sick was Hostel at the end when I first Hostel Part 1 at the end with the Asian girl. But then I watched the making of and it just didn't seem as disgusting. But then again, in the making of, you see Eli Roth in the shower, so...
Hi, I'm Eli Roth.
Yeah, that'll put you in good spirits, won't it?
Yes, that certainly made my day. I think the only other movie that I nearly, I actually wanted to vomit because I was actually eating dinner at the time and my dinner started to smell disgusting, was Hannibal, which would be the end scene.
With the cut open head?
Yeah, the brain. Yeah.
That was weird.
Because I have a sensitivity with brains that, at the time, it grossed me out. But, yeah, you know, since these things, nothing much actually makes me really want to vomit or, you know, anything now. I can pretty much watch a lot of things. So,
Very cool.
Those two movies, I didn't look away, amazingly.
No.
Mm.
But I guess that's a good thing, because they held your, you know...
Oh, yeah, I was definitely interested to watch them both, but, you know, the excessive violence and gore, I still managed to watch it, but, you know, that's just me. A lot of people probably couldn't make it through the first, you know, 10 minutes and something, you know.
Well, I think horror fans are built a little better to watch stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean,
anyway,
if you like the genre,
Yeah, you'll be able to handle it.
You can probably handle it better.
If you're not really into violent movies and you don't like horror, you'd probably be a bit shocked by something like Martyrs, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't handle a little bit of violence, go back and watch, you know, Bridget Jones's Diary, but, you know, cover your eyes when the two guys fight in the movie.
Yeah.
So this podcast actually given me some interesting movies to watch.
Yeah.
And I have been watching them, so good for me.
Awesome.
Yes, so had a bit of a...
We're done.
Yeah, we've had our top five discussion, and we've had a bit of a discussion about some recent
horror
movies.
Yes.
Although, I was going to say, like, we both saw District 9, and that's obviously the hot topic of the moment.
Yes.
We could touch on that briefly.
Okay.
Yeah, rather than rough it up straight away. We can... I've kind of wanted to talk about this movie a little bit.
Yeah.
Just because... I mean, I went into it, I didn't want to have any kind of expectations to it because everyone was raving about it.
Same here.
I really didn't want to go in and just be let down.
Yeah.
So I went in without any expectations, and you know what? It really works for me because I really, really, really enjoyed the movie.
Definitely. I was the same. I went in, I was looking forward to the movie, like, ever since I'd heard about it, but once the reviews came in and everyone was raving about it, I really tried to ignore that, because I didn't want to have to go in and be disappointed, but, I wasn't disappointed at all. There were a lot of people who were saying it's their favourite film of the year, and they loved it, and it's not my favourite film of the year, but it was probably one of, if not the most original movie that I've seen all year.
Well, it's one of the most unique movies I think I've ever seen.
Because
the trailers were definitely misleading as to what it's about.
They were.
And it's not like it's an alien invasion movie either.
No, it's not.
It's kind of shot like documentary style.
Yeah.
And, you know, the movie does change as it progresses, and there's a lot of... You know, with your main character, there is a lot of, like, character development and character changes, and they actually...
It's all about the characters.
Yeah, and they even develop, you know, some of the aliens into, like, some main characters as well.
Yeah.
But not to give anything away, I noticed Empire's review of District 9, which I didn't read until after I saw the movie, gave away a lot of plot points that you're better off not knowing about. So that was very disappointing, Empire magazine.
I didn't read that one. Actually, I should. That's why I didn't read it, because I hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But.
They kind of do spoil it, because I think the less you know, the better it is.
Yeah.
So obviously,
sure.
I don't really want to say too much more about it, but it would probably be my number two movie of the year so far.
Yeah, it would definitely be in my top five.
Yeah. But tomorrow, Inglourious Bastards, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yes, lucky you. I'm sure I will end up seeing it.
I mean, I've been so excited for it, but then also District 9, which, you know, it did really, you know, impress me a lot. And I'm just wondering, is Bastards going to be as good as that? I mean, they're two completely different movies.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll see, you know, which one I liked more. You know, maybe Bastards will blow that out of the water for me, and it might even blow Watchmen out of the water for me. I don't know. Be interesting.
Well, it's been getting some great word of mouth. I haven't heard anything bad about Bastards, so...
Yeah, I'm going to have to control myself, because it's a Quentin Tarantino film, and it's got Eli Roth in it, and
I'm the biggest
Eli Roth fan.
Hi, I'm Eli Roth.
It's a bit of a lethal combo.
I know that, like, a lot of people really don't like Eli Roth, and to that I say, F you. I love him. I love his movies. I just love everything about him. So
I think he's great.
And he's also extremely hot, so I will definitely kiss his ass.
Yes, I would do something with the ass, but it's probably not good to
we won't go there. Let's just say we'll both spank his ass because we love him.
Hi, I'm Eli Roth.
Yes, spank.
So before this turns into a porno podcast, that's really about a wrap. So,
yes,
I mean, obviously when this gets published, I would have seen Bastards, but it's good to have, like, just this, you know, a documentation of this point in time of my feelings on it.
Just in case you come back and you say, you know what, that was pretty crap.
Yeah, well, I highly doubt it's going to happen, but yeah.
Well, no.
So, until next time, this has been our top five guilty pleasures.
Yeah.
And this has been our brief discussion on some horror movies and our excitement over how hot Eli Roth is.
It has.
Mm. So until next time, I'm Super Marcy.
And I'm Stephen.
And stay classy, podcasting world.
Bye.
Jesus Christ! You scared the shit out of me, man! Hey! What are you doing? Hey, what the fuck you doing in my room? Listen, I'm in trouble. I need you to let me stay here tonight.
Are you out of your mind?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Why don't you just go home and take a bottle of sleeping pills? I killed Snyder.
You what?
Only it wasn't me, see. There's something inside of me. And last night it made me go to my sister's room. And tonight with Lisa on the cabana, it started to happen again.
I think you are seriously losing it, bro.